B-Pod Studios.
The great Tim Legler, the one, the only Legs. Ah, awesome. What do you say, brother?
What's happening, gentlemen? How you guys doing, man?
Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great. Oh, man, it's great to on a great basketball Tuesday, talking about all the stuff. To have you on the line is special. So let's get right to it, my brother. Ben, Saturday, Ben moving forward. What are you thinking?
Well, look, man, I think that, you know, I think what I thought all along, which is, you know, you're talking about a guy that's a transcendent talent. There's no question about it in the ways that he can affect the game. I think we all know that ultimately, if you really want to look at the Sixers as being a team that you can envision having a parade and winning a title, you know, I'd love to see him be able to develop some aspect of his game where he can score from other places on the floor. But when you look at the ways that he plays, the selflessness that he plays with, it promotes something with your team that is incredibly valuable over and above his athletic ability and his size. It's the way that he plays, his willingness to want to make guys better. That promotes a type of chemistry on your team. When one of your best players plays that way, that you can't really put a price tag on it. To me, that might be his best quality.
It's funny because I was saying the same thing. There was some Bleacher Report rumor about Anthony Davis for Ben. And you go, oh my God, Anthony Davis and Joe? Could you imagine those two? They both can alternate high post, low post. But the problem that would occur with those two is that I don't think that those two can coexist from a bigness standpoint. And you need what Ben gives you because Ben is, with Jimmy, is the ultimate facilitator.
Yeah, he is. And, man, you're talking about Anthony Davis here.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's like, you know, some people would just dismiss that right away because they love Ben Simmons so much because they're a Sixers fan. But the reality is, you'd have to at least take a weekend and sleep on that, wouldn't you?
You got to do it. I do it in a second. But here's the one thing. Could those two, my only worry would be this. I don't know that Joe would embrace that.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
you know what I'm saying, right? Like, I don't know that Joe would embrace another big of his ilk.
No, I hear you. I guess what it would come down to would be he'd have to come to a comprehension of what Anthony Davis on the floor with him would mean. So I don't think some people would think that would be in today's NBA where no one's playing two guys that are primarily legitimate bigs and play big on the floor at the same time. Like, no one's really doing that. The difference is the versatility of Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. I mean, they can morph all over the floor.
You can alternate high post, low post with those two.
Yeah, and defensively as well. I mean, Anthony Davis is a guy that can jump out, slide his feet, and guard perimeter players and then track them to the rim, similar to what Ben can do, Joel can do. Anthony Davis can do all of those things. Look, he's not the playmaker, obviously, that Ben Simmons is, but when you just look at the number of ways he can affect the game offensively and the answers that he has for you, when no matter what you come up with defensively, he's on a different level than Ben Simmons. So I think that's something you'd have to look at. And Joel Embiid, ultimately, you know, he'd have to wrap his head around what Anthony Davis brings to the table and how many boxes he checks off, because there's no weakness there whatsoever. And if Embiid really wants to, you know, be a guy that wants to be on a championship team in this city, that would probably give you a better chance. So I think ultimately that's what he would have to come to terms with. I hear you. I mean, you know, he wants to be maybe that only big out there doing all those versatile things. And Ben's a really totally different player and a perimeter-based player for the most part. But I think if he really wanted to understand what it was going to take to win and what he needed to add, Anthony Davis is going to do some things that Ben just can't right now. And I'm not sure that Ben will ever be able to from an offensive standpoint.
We're talking with Tim Legler, ESPN, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, when you look at the Ben Simmons and the Sixers right now, there's a lack of willingness to want the ball in key situations, either to get to the free throw line or obviously take the shot. You're a guy that was a great shooter in the NBA. What would your kind of message to him be to maybe help try and gain that willingness to take those shots and do it actually in a game?
So I think, look, as far as the perimeter shot in certain situations, look, you know, if you just don't have confidence in that, and that's not something that you spent countless hours on over the last year to develop, then you're not gonna really be in a position to take that. But I do think there are opportunities, and I've said this all along, that to me, one of the biggest problems they were going to have is this is your primary ball handler, okay? And if he is not going to be a threat to score late in games, that's a problem, because you can't just say, well, Jimmy Butler's now going to be our closer. Ben Simmons has the ball so much in the fourth quarter of games. If you've got tight games and you've got a guy that's not in the mindset, like, I'm going to turn the corner here on a ball screen, or I'm going to use my speed to get to the rim in certain situations, and I don't care if I get fouled. I've got to go ahead, put that kind of pressure on the defense, and walk to the line confidently. He at least has to be able to do that. I understand he's not going to pull up and shoot an 18-footer if a guy goes under a screen, or obviously catch and shoot a three in a big moment. He's just not there with his shooting mechanics. But at the free throw line, it's a totally different story. I think he can actually convince himself. It's almost like you have to fake yourself through in the beginning to just do it. And by just sheer will, you will make yourself more confident at the foul line. I think the hesitation that he has, or the trepidation in those situations, he's already planting a seed of doubt. Like, what's going to happen if I make this play? And I think you just got to pin your ears back sometimes and go, because that's the best play for the Sixers, because there are opportunities he's going to have late in games where he's getting less attention than Embiid and Butler are. And so that's a good play for the Sixers, but he's got to trick his mind into thinking, like, this is a good thing. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to knock down these two free throws. I'm not sure he's in that place.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And that's a problem, because you can't have him just go and give a dribble handoff.
Right, exactly. And that's what the problem last year I saw at the end of games was a big issue.
And that was Saturday.
Here's your basic point guard, basically your point guard, right? And he's bringing the ball off the floor, and you're in the last 3 minutes of a one-possession game, and he's just going to go to the wing and do a dribble handoff with J.J. Redick. I mean, you know, wait a second, and you're going, wait a second. I know J.J.'s a great player, and he's obviously a guy that's had an incredible career, and you know, you have a lot of faith in J.J. Redick taking shots. But, you know, to think that Ben Simmons, a guy that was the number one pick in the draft, a guy that, you know, has an all-around game that you would think eventually he might get put into the MVP discussion in this league because he has that kind of ability, has to run dribble handoff with inferior players on his own team and then go sort of stand in the corner where he's not a threat, and now his man could just get in the lap of somebody else. That's a problem that needs to be addressed. And until he does address it, it's going to come up a lot. We're going to continue to talk about exact topic until we see a change.
All right, so we're talking to great Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Hotline. Would you look at Melo? He got traded to the Bulls. He's going to be bought out. Would you look at Melo? I mean, they need a bench.
Man, oh man, oh man, no. There are certain teams. There are certain teams in this league that I would not bring Melo in for. And here's why. I actually think I've never been a huge Melo guy, but I'm going to defend him in this regard. Carmelo Anthony is a guy that I feel like he got cheated in a way, because he got skipped over a stage of his career. Here's what I mean by that. We know what he was at his best in Denver and then early time in New York. He's one of the elite scorers in the league. He's an isolation player, mid-range player, great contested jump shooter off the dribble, like a big-time bucket getter, right? But he went from that stage to the next stage, the final stage in Oklahoma City and Houston, which is set a lot of ball screens and then just go stand at the three-point line. He's never been a great three-point shooter. He's a rhythm three-point shooter, right? When he's getting 25 touches a night, then he's a decent three-point shooter. He's not a good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter off the ball when he hasn't touched the ball in five trips. And that's what they asked him to do. And my point is, there's another stage for a guy like Melo, okay? But it's got to be a certain team. And that stage is, we're going to let you be who you've been, like what you're good at. But it's going to have to be like a 20-minute roll off the bench on a team that's not a high-assist team, that a team that is more of an isolation team that maybe plays at a slower pace, where you're not going to disrupt anything by letting him play, you know, two 9-10-minute stretches, one in each half, where he's allowed to be himself, even if it's a reduced version in terms of touches, minutes, shots, all that. If he can wrap his head around that and accept that, I think Melo would be happier in a 20-minute role where he's allowed to be what he is at his best than a guy that's starting, playing 35 minutes at Oklahoma City or Houston, that's standing around watching the action all night.
That's a great
point. I firmly
believe
that.
I mean,
but the Sixers are a high assist team. And that's why I don't think, that's disruptive to the way that they play. You actually are going to play a completely different way when he's on the floor in order to maximize what he is. Because listen, if you're going to use him as a spot up, then you're better off playing a guy with younger legs that's a better defender. And that's what Houston and Oklahoma City, where they completely missed the point on him. And that's why he finds himself in the position he is. But he has to accept it, guys. And he hasn't been willing to accept that reduction and come to terms with, okay, this is what the final chapter is going to look like. It could be more than what it was with those two teams, but I'm certainly not a starter, and I'm certainly not going to be a top guy on any team. But there are roles. I think Memphis would be a great place for him because it's a low-assist team. They play a slow pace, and they desperately need more talent.
Tim Legler, ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Legs up. Where are the Sixers in the Eastern Conference right now? We know they're the 4 seed right now. But all said and done, when the playoffs do roll around, and we're assuming that they're going to add a couple roster positions to this team, a shooter, somebody that shakes loose, or a buyout situation, where's this going for the Sixers, and what kind of noise can they make in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think for me, it's quick. Look, first of all, I believe right now, with the state that Boston is in and the inconsistency with which they've played, I honestly truly believe that all of these teams, these top five, they're all capable of beating each other in a seven-game series right now. I really believe that. The key for the Sixers, if they've got to go on the road right off the bat, that's a problem because they've been so dominant at home. They're a different team. The energy level is different in that building. So if you get Boston or you get Indiana at home in the first round, I think you're going to win that series because if Boston is still playing as a five at the end of the year, and they've got problems that they didn't figure out throughout the year, and they can be had. Now, if Boston climbs up to 3 or 2, by the time this thing settles, they're probably going to come out of the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee and Toronto are deeper. I think they're more complete teams than Philly. But look, because of Embiid, because of Butler, Simmons, even a guy like Redick, they've got enough talent.
Yeah.
Any of these five teams, you can pull names out of a hat. They're all capable of beating each other in a seven-game series right now.
I got to
see how this shakes out with Boston the rest of the year because I still think they're the one team hasn't shown me their best. I know what the best of these other four teams is. I know, firmly in my head. I know what their box score is going to look like every night. I have no idea outside of Kyrie Irving what Boston's box score looks like every night, and I think that's a problem for them that they haven't figured out. There's no pecking order on that team.
Yeah, they're an odd team. I think last year with the injury to Kyrie and Hayward and those other guys stepping up, it changed the dynamic so much that the integration piece has been difficult on them.
Well, listen, you know, this is what I joke about all the time. Imagine this sales pitch. So, okay, Kyrie goes down, Hayward's not there. This team goes on a run at the end of the year. They go to a game 7 to go to the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier are starters. They're playing major minutes. They have incredible amount of responsibility, all the touches they want, the rhythm, you name it. And now you come back this season, and here's Brad Stevens' sales pitch. Okay, guys, here's what I need all of you to do. Do less than you did last year as young players when you're ascending. I want you to do less. Let's take your foot off the gas. Do less, and we'll be better. That's a hard thing for a young player to comprehend. What are you talking about? Look what we were doing last year, and young players think, okay, it's like a ladder, right? Each year now is a progression. No, they ask them to actually dial it back. And that's been a big problem. Acceptance of roles, trying to find multiple guys in rhythm in the same night has been a problem. That's why I say, if Marcus Morris has been their second best player, and I believe that he has been, that is not necessarily a good thing when you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on that team. So they have had a very difficult time coming to terms with the depth, the sharing, and not Brad Stevens, I think, not doing a good enough job of establishing a pecking order. Like Jason Tatum, every night needs to get 16, 18 shots. I've seen nights this year, 35 minutes, 10 shots. That tells me that there's no established pecking order who your second best player is and third best player. They just take names out of a hat on a nightly basis. And I think as a result, guys, it's created a lot of confusion and uncertainty with guys on that team, and they've had a hard time just keeping their momentum going. They've had spurts,
yeah,
but they haven't really played consistently the way that Toronto and Milwaukee have.
I agree with you. I agree. The Great Legs with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. The league has a problem. Like, the league has a major, major problem, at least for this season. Because none of it matters. when you add Cousins to that team, I mean, I'm watching last night. They're playing the Lakers. The Lakers banged up, and you know the deal. But it's not fair. They're the Monstars, Legs.
Yeah, it's. I mean, look, even without them, I would have picked them to win it again. I take Warriors against the field, you know, going into the year. Yeah. No matter what I see from them throughout the season, when people start to, you know, go into panic mode. And I really think that's actually because people are trying to create a story as, like, the chance vulnerable. I'm taking the Warriors against the field regardless, but when you added DeMarcus Cousins, here's what's unique for him. He's never been on a team in his life where he's going to be an afterthought defensively for teams. And that's what he's going to get. Look at the space he's going to get to operate in. No. And he's not even close, by the way, to being in condition. Like,
he's off the Achilles, a little fat, laboring. Chubby.
He's never been explosive, but he's like laboring up and down the floor a little bit right now. Imagine 15 games under his belt, and now you can't double him in the post because of all the shooting on the floor. Anytime you run ball screen with him and somebody at the top of the key, and you got to extend extra attention to Curry and Thompson and Durant when they run that ball screen. That ball's been going to Kevon Looney and guys, JaVale McGee last year, Jarebko. Like, these guys are catching the ball in the middle of the floor with no one within 12 feet of them, and that's not going to be any different for one of the best big men in the game. He's going to get the same space that those guys got. Imagine the damage he's going to do. And also, you saw glimpses of it last night. He's a phenomenal passer, and that plays very well with what they do offensively. So you're right. It's not fair. It seems like a foregone conclusion. And now we just got to see, you know, what shakes out. For me, it's much more fascinating what's going to happen in the East, because I think all five of those teams are capable of coming out. Maybe not Indiana, but I think the other four I can envision in the NBA Finals. And so for me, that's much more interesting than what's going on out West.
Well, awesome. Legs, hey, man, we appreciate it. You good?
Yeah. I don't want to dominate the whole thing, but I mean, Legs.
But Legs had to like what he saw last night out of Clay. 10 straight?
Oh, man.
Oh, my
man,
God.
Man, oh, man.
And 43 points last week on four dribbles.
Hey, do you hear? The only thing I want to ask you, do you hear anything on Fultz?
Oh, that's right.
No. No.
Nobody has.
No, but, you know, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Does it bother you at all when they're constantly panning to him during the game and he's just laughing the entire time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awful optics.
Because it hit me last night, and I'm thinking to myself, and here's why it really hit me. I contrasted it with, they showed LeBron on the bench in L.A., and this was like early. This wasn't like when they were getting smoked. This was early in the game. He looked like he had an expression on his face like he was being audited by the IRS. Like, he looked that concerned, right? And this is a guy that, if anybody's got a right to laugh on the bench, it's LeBron James, and he's just the look of it. And it's almost like, I feel like he's going overboard to try to show people, I'm loosey-goosey, I'm so relaxed, this is no big thing. And I just feel like, you know, I want him to succeed. I desperately want him to succeed. I know Sixers fans do as well. I just think that somebody needs to just get in his ear a little bit and say, look, right now, you know, with where you were selected and way this has gone so far, I mean, this could go down as one of the worst picks in the history of the league. You've got all eyes on you at all times. So portray how much this means to you that you're not playing right now, how serious you are about it. You should be pained by the fact that this has been the start of your career, and you can't wait to get out there and show people what you really are. And I think sometimes optically looking at that and the silliness, and I know he's a young kid, and I don't know how, you know, mature he is, but I just feel like he needs to get someone in his ear, a veteran on that team, if they see that film, or the coaching staff or somebody, and just be like, look, I just think the approach right now, you're a pro now. You're a pro, and everyone is watching you, breathlessly waiting for you to come back, because they think they identified what the problem was. Well, they're going to expect to see a completely different Markelle Fultz when you take the court. So show that when you're faced, that how much this means to you that you're not playing right now. This should be something that's hurtful. You shouldn't be having the time of your life on the bench.
Yeah, get Jimmy Butler to do like an episode of that old show, Scared Straight, with him. You know?
And I'm really not trying to beat him up or be hard on him. I'm genuinely saying, like, when I played, even the same thing, if there were guys on our team that weren't playing, and we had the situation in Dallas where we had a couple lottery picks that were out, and they didn't live up to where they were selected, and they were struggling, and the media was all over the fans. And then they shut it down for like half a year, and they're sitting there and they're like laughing. And I remember like, you know, Derek Harper and some of the veterans on the team, like that was a major problem for them when they got optics on that. And I just think it should be something that you should look at him, and he should be sitting there with a look on his face like,
be into the game. Exactly. Be into the game.
It's insulting at this point.
I hate it. You know what? Everyone makes excuses. Oh, he's young. Leave him alone. No. Be into the game. Pay attention to the freaking game. It's your job.
And I think you know, you could really, you know, if you're a Sixers fan and you want him to succeed, and we all do, like I said, I really do. I'm pulling for him. Right. I believed in him coming out. But, like, put yourself, like, in a position where if you saw a player like that in a similar situation on another team, you know, Philadelphia fans, Sixers fans, you'd be all over that guy. So that's what I fear for him, is the look of it is, does this matter that much? And I think, you know, with what he has gone through, and some of it physical, some of it mental, there's no question it's both. But whatever, the start of his career has been delayed by a year and a half, okay? He hasn't been able to help this team, and he was taken number one, and there are some guys taken behind him that are tearing it up.
Yeah.
And so it should hurt him so much that he can't play, that it should be painful sitting there. Torture. I know when I was out even for, you know, almost a full season with a torn ACL reconstruction, it absolutely killed me to sit on that bench in street clothes that I wasn't on the court helping. And I couldn't wait to get back. And I wasn't the number one pick in the draft. I was just a guy that loved to play so much, it pained me that I couldn't be out there. And I don't think last night when I kept showing him that's what I was feeling. And I want him to feel that, because I think it'll drive him even more to come back and turn this thing around and have a great career.
You're the best. You're the best, Legs.
Thanks, Legs.
Anytime, gentlemen. I'll catch up with you guys soon.
All right, brother.
There he is. Tim Legler, ESPN.
He's the best.
He's awesome. And you're right. It's a horrible look.
I could talk to him all day. I'd be like, would you just let him go?
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot. Damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Bump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter and visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
Alrighty. I hope you hit the line. 610-771-9751 and left your messages. Last night was a great night. It was a great Philadelphia sports night. Tremendous. As I tweeted out last night, Joel Embiid and the Sixers are tremendous theater. And that was it last night, right? That was theater.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was. Terrific.
Had all kinds of elements. Villains.
It was a good win. Now, again, the Rockets are banged up. No Capella. No CP. But it was good. You needed to win. So without Jimmy, it was good to go out and win. Listen, every time Embiid steps on the floor, he's just an incredible watch.
You can't take your eyes off the guy. So let's see what came in on the line last night.
I was able to do a little espionage down at the NovaCare, and I found out that the one source that had cited Carson Wentz for being selfish and complicating things, the source that unveiled that information is actually Carson Wentz himself. He is so honest that he's willing to admit all of his faults.
So Carson was the unnamed, one of the unnamed sources. Well, that would be something. What if it was Foles? A last-ditch effort to stay.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
I'll discredit Carson. And then by the February 11th deadline, they'll make a different decision, and I'll stay, and they'll ship out Carson. He's a double agent, this Foles. Not, I wouldn't, there would be no way in the world that Foles would be one of those sources. I think we feel good about that.
Correct.
I really wish Andy got it done, because now we got to watch fraud McVay go up against criminal Belichick. This is one of the worst Super Bowls in recent memory. There's no positive outcome from this one, so I guess let's just get it back to the Sixers.
Well, I hear a lot of people saying that this Super Bowl, I'm not watching it. I don't feel that way at all. I feel like this is a compelling Super Bowl.
All right, so
Super Bowl's always compelling.
I mean, Super Bowl. But I think we were talking about it during the break. The Rams are, you have to admit, McVay, Goff, they're Cali. They're too Cali.
Too pretty?
They're too Cali. I like the dirty Boston dudes over the Cali guys.
Yeah, but why all this, and you're doing it too, and that guy did.
I want the grimy, Boston fellas.
Well, you want like the hoodie sweatshirt that's got a food stain on it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got like gravy from the press dining room on his sweatshirt. He doesn't think to change it. And what, McVay's got this guy that follows him around on the sideline to make sure that he doesn't go onto the field to play. Did you see that?
I did.
And he's like walking around like he's on a leash.
Yeah.
But why, like the caller said it there, like he's a fraud. That McVay's a fraud. I don't think McVay's a fraud at all.
I told you he's a terrific coach.
Yeah, but that guy called him a fraud.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't walk on water
The problem is he's crowned too early, because every owner wants a McVay clone.
Well, that's what it's like in all sports.
Okay, well, they all want a McVay clone, and it's annoying to people.
Well, I don't get annoyed by it. I admire the guy, because I think he's...
Okay, I think he's a good
great
coach.
Great play designer.
I think he's a really good... I do. I think he's terrific.
But he's getting too lauded too early. Without accomplishment.
I think he's terrific. I just don't want him to win, all right? I don't want him. I don't want God. I don't like Goff. He's a puppet for McVay.
And you're going to go, and you're going to lend your considerable voice behind the hood, the hoodie.
Yes.
I am stunned by this development.
The true football genius.
Andrew, I bet you right now at 610-771-9751, the line is ringing right now. And shock that Anthony is willing to put his voice behind the hoodie. I bet you they're calling it right now.
Well, Anthony's not the only one in this room.
Oh, yeah, you too?
Yeah, I'm leaning New England.
Oh, God.
You know why? Because the Eagles took them down last year.
Well,
so if they win ever again, I don't care. The Eagles already beat them in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I hate Goff. I do hate McVay. I hate them more than I hate the Patriots, and the Eagles beat them, so what do I care?
You guys got so much hate in your heart.
I don't hate it. I'm like, it's not about that. You ask, you got to win. Like, you need somebody to root for. So I'm rooting for the Belichick.
What, you can't just watch the game and not root?
Nah.
The other reason, I appreciate greatness.
I do too.
I do appreciate greatness.
No, you don't.
Which is why I'm not rooting against him.
If you really appreciated, you'd root for Belichick.
No. That's not incumbent upon me to do that. Look, I appreciate all the greats. I appreciate LeBron and Crosby, and I don't have to root against them or for them to appreciate their greatness. I'm an advanced mind. Said no one ever.
The Saints, oh my God. Sean Payton, look at the look on his face. Couldn't happen to a nicer coach. Bounty Gate, wearing ski masks after they beat the Eagles, running up scores on teams. Get Payton.
I get he's a hate-the-face guy, and he's an arrogant horse's ass, but I'm not happy at the way that happened. Still, now there's a lawsuit. Darren Revell tweeted out that Saints season ticket holders, Anthony, have a class action suit against the NFL to do the right thing and bring the teams back to the stadium to get the right
get
result.
The somebody wants publicity. There's nothing worse than one of these guys, some lawyer with his face on a park bench in New Orleans. Looking to go get a free publicity by doing it. It was a bad call. Get over it. All right?
It happens.
It was a bad call. It happens all the time. Tell your boy, the other genius, Sean Payton, that they should have won it in overtime. How about that?
So we've had anonymous stories about every team, about dissent or dissatisfaction with the coach or certain players, dissatisfaction with other players. We haven't heard anything about dissatisfaction with Fultz. Teams still bought in on him. Embiid practices with him in the summer. Based on the slow start to the Sixers' best players, I think we ought to give him a chance still.
Fultz?
Well, you're going to when he can show the ability to get on the floor and contribute.
Listen, he has a chance. I just want to see him. He's got every chance in the world. I just want to see him play. That's all.
You think we see him this year? We're running out of runway here.
I have no idea.
Because he's in, like, physical therapy now. Idea. Then he's got to, you know, the Sixers process is physical therapy. Then he's got to go to one-on-one and shooting around.
There was a guy who called. Where's the guy I was going to go to? The guy who called and says he's tired of me bashing him. First of all, I haven't brought up Fultz in months. Second of all, I don't think that's bashing.
It was Gerald in Germantown was the guy's name.
Gee.
We'll see if we can get him back on.
Gee, that's not bashing. Saying I want to see him play is not bashing. That's not bashing.
When you draft a guy number one overall, you should see him play.
I don't think it's out of line to go, hey, dude, how about you play? Or at least tell me what's wrong with you.
Yeah, baby, number one overall pick. Love me some bench, baby. I'm doing sick bench work out here. Waving my towel up and down. Got me anchovy arthritis disease, man. You know what I mean? But I love me rocking some bench. One day I make my mark, but right now my mark's on that bench, baby. Woo-hoo!
It's a butt mark.
Oh, that was awesome. Check out my bench game.
I hate his bench game.
No, but that guy was the greatest.
Yeah.
Bench guy needs to be regular on the line.
Until he's no longer needed and the guy gets on the floor. I don't think we see Markelle Fultz this year, nor do I even give a damn at this point. Just stop showing him on TV. Please. Help me.
Here's the problem. They have no bench. He can contribute to the bench. He's the perfect guy off the bench.
Give a few minutes to handle the ball, run the point when Ben goes out.
Perfect guy. You need him.
Wow, global warming has really spoiled you guys. The fact that you're so concerned and upset that it's cold in the freaking winter. It's supposed to be cold. Man up.
Ah, it's easy for you to say, you creep.
He's cold-blooded like me.
Listen, it's not about... Yesterday was ridiculous cold, all right?
It's great.
Unless you're from Anchorage, shut the bleep up, all right? Because it doesn't get that cold this time of the year anymore, all right? And cold in the winter is 25 degrees. Yesterday it was 2 degrees.
Killed my car battery.
All right?
And the wind was wicked.
I had to drive in the fiance's car today. My car battery's dead.
All right? My tire's almost blew. And I got, oh, get over it. Ah, bleep you.
I was at the getting gas this morning, and the line of cars was like 8 deep to put air in their tires because it was freezing again this morning. And then the air pressure all goes down. Everybody's there lining up to get their air filled up.
Yeah.
Not me. I was good. I was out there.
You freak.
I was out there in a pair of shorts and a muscle shirt.
You freakazoid walking around in 0-degree temperatures with your beard freezing.
I didn't dry my beard on purpose because I wanted it to freeze when I got out there.
You're just a freak.
I love it.
Weirdo.
It's beautiful.
You belong in a grocery store in the freezer section.
Ah.
I want to go.
Hot chicks in the freezer section, Anthony.
I want to go to the Whole Foods and look around and see.
See my blue heaven?
And see you in the back, and like from behind the glass, like a possum frozen inside the frozen foods, next to the frozen peas.
No, the French style green beans I prefer. I'm not a pea man.
You like this? Sicko.
I don't like it. I love it.
You know what? You're something wrong with you.
There is.
You're weird. You're something wrong. I don't trust you.
The wires are not connected.
Steve me.
This isn't exactly breaking news at this point.
Yeah, but who likes like you to go? Hey, go out my see my T-shirt. Well, let me stop. Got your T-shirt.
10, 9, 8, 76ers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers. Come on, cue the music. The season doesn't really matter. Fast forward to the playoffs after we beat Boston. We're going to play Golden State and get swept.
I couldn't cue the music knowing what was coming next.
That was hysterical.
Well, look, Legs brought it up about coming out of the East, that any of the five teams, the top five teams in the Eastern Conference, Toronto, Milwaukee, Sixers, except maybe not Indiana, but and the Celtics, of those four teams, any of them can come out, but we're just serving them up to the Golden State Warriors. And you're right, the NBA does have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, you know who's going to win now.
It's a foregone conclusion.
So this is from Tom Haberstroh. He's with NBC Sports, but he does stuff for NBC Sports Philadelphia. The Warriors, they're calling it the Boogie Death lineup. So far, they've played together 18 minutes.
The Boogie Death lineup?
Yeah, with, you know.
And that's the five stars.
Yes.
All right.
So far, they've played 18 minutes together because he's still in the minutes restriction.
So what's the score?
Warriors 55, opponents 20. So per 100, it would be 131-45, a net rating of 85.5 points.
Oh, my goodness.
If they played together the entire game.
That's Monstars.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.